David Sparks and Mike Schmitz spent their careers working for the establishment. Now they've had enough. They've rebelled against the status quo and are now seeking success on their terms. They are free agents.
Welcome to the Free Agents, a talk about gaming, goofing off, and not getting your work done. Right, Mike?
Yeah, not at all about being an independent worker in a digital age.
No, it's not. So this is the bonus episode of the Free Agents. Thank you for supporting Relay FM and the Free Agents. We really appreciate it. But we thought, just for giggles, instead of talking about getting work done, we'd talk about goofing off today.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of our favorite games.
Yeah, so we just got to the subject of let's talk about gaming. Now, Mike, I know that you've been a video gamer for a while, right?
I'm an off and on video gamer.
Yeah.
I've recently gotten back into video games. Specifically, we've got a Nintendo Switch, so some people would say that doesn't make me a real gamer, because real gamers got to have like the heavy-duty PlayStation or a gaming PC
Gaming PC is where it's at, and a mouse that is measured in milliseconds and all that, right?
Yep. So that's definitely not me, although I definitely do enjoy a good video game. My favorite happens to be Zelda Breath of the Wild, which the interest in this was rekindled recently listening to episode 7, I believe, of the Playing for Fun podcast. And that game is just so big, so much that you can do in it, that even though I had sunk a whole bunch of hours into it and then didn't touch it for over a year, that when I got back into it, you know, I still feel like I haven't even made a dent in it.
It's funny you say that, because I am also a fan of Zelda Breath of the Wild. We also got a Switch fairly early when they started coming out, and the kids and I love to play Mario Kart together on it. That's like, whenever we have people over, that's a very common thing, to have a Mario Kart tournament. But I really got into the Zelda game, and I'd never played a Zelda game in my life, because we've never just had the Nintendo hardware. You always needed their hardware to play Zelda. But I really dig this game. And like you were saying, it's an open world, so you can go just discover stuff. Like if you want to take a break from all your work and just go fishing, you can do that. I kind of like that.
Yeah, in fact, once you follow the main story arc of the game, it's not one of those games that you can keep playing after you've beaten it. And so I knew that going into it, and I have not done the final battle, but I've done a whole bunch of other things. Like one of the things that you can do in the game is you go through all the different shrines. I got all 120 shrines prior to the expansions, which added a few more. And as a result, you get some armor that's the armor of the wild, and it's the classic like short green shorts and the green tunic with the cap that you typically would think of Zelda from even the NES days. But that took a whole lot of time in order to do that. And as stupid as it sounds, getting that set of armor, you know, even though it's really just like a visual thing, that's pretty rewarding, at least for me.
So wait a second, when you finish the main quest, the game ends? I didn't know that.
Yeah, once you beat Ganon in the castle, it's not one of the things where you can just continue to play in the world and, you know, and Hyrule is saved for a while. You know, it's in a constant state of turmoil. And when you beat the final battle, it ends. So I've put that off as long as I can. And they keep coming out with expansions that give you other things to do. So
there's the, I forget what they call it. Like you, I got into it, but I have not played it for a long time now because I've just been really busy. So now you're making me want to play it again. But I've had like, I think two of the four, what do you call it? The major battles? I don't remember what they're called.
The guardian beasts.
Yes, I have beat two of four. I think there's four of them, right?
Yep, there's four. And then with the expansions, there's another sort of like guardian that you can get before you. You know, spoiler alert, but there's another thing that you can get for your Sheikah slate, which allows you to drive a motorcycle, so you basically always have a horse that you can that you can force to appear, and then you can drive this dirt bike around the Hyrule map, man, which is really, really fun. So I really wanted to get to that.
So now, do you play your Switch just like in the mobile thing where you just pull it out, or do you play it on the TV, or both?
I typically play it on the TV, and the reason is that if I were to take it and play it mobile, the place that I would take it would be when I travel. However, I've got kids that love playing it too, so they won't let me do that.
Well, I was thinking, so we leave it, because you've got the little kids, when you play on TV, they'd all be like, Dad, I want to play now, right?
Yeah, well, actually, it's kind of fun because my 10-year-old is a lot better at Zelda than I am.
Really?
And so he kind of coaches me through stuff.
Oh,
he's my own built-in Zelda guide.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, Dad, go do this. Go over here. Now do that. You know, and he walks me through a lot of the stuff in there. So it's fun.
Something you guys can do together too.
Yep. Yep. We also do the Mario Kart stuff. And that's great for little kids too, because they have a mode in there where you can force it to stay on the track and you can also force it to keep going forward. So when they don't press the acceleration button or they drive off the edge of one of those courses, you know, it doesn't have the guardrails, it keeps them on the track and they feel like they're doing really well.
Now, the question is there a mode you can do that for just one player? Because I would like to have that for myself.
That I don't know. I'm not sure. Although, if you're going to play it with a group of people, you really need to get some of those like steering wheel things that you can put the Joy-Cons in. Yeah. And then turn the tilt controls on. You haven't played Mario Kart until you have a whole bunch of people who are like cranking these things in their hands, trying to get it to turn. It's pretty hilarious.
No, we haven't done that yet. We'll have to do that. Well, I mean, my kids are a little older than yours. And so we have high school and college kids come over and they love playing Mario Kart. Any other Nintendo games you're playing?
Yeah. Mario Tennis is one that I really, really enjoy. And that's another one that's pretty easy to pick up, even if you've not really played it before. But it's surprisingly deep if you were to play it single player too. There's a lot to it. It's a lot more complex than the, I think it was Nintendo 64 version that came out before that. But that's really fun. And they've got online tournaments. And if you play in the online tournaments, they've been releasing like a different character every month as like a reward for competing in the tournament. So you can unlock, you know, like the Diddy Kong, the Donkey Kong Jr. guy. If you play in a tournament and they've all got different abilities, like some guys are really fast, some people are really powerful, some people have like ridiculous spin that they can put on their shots. So that's another group game that I enjoy. And then the other individual game that I play all the time, I played soccer in high school. I would have played in college, but I wasn't good enough. But I've really enjoyed soccer for a long time. So I really got into FIFA 18 when it came out for the Switch. And I've put way too many hours into that game.
Yeah, I know a lot of guys who are really into football/soccer, and they all, whether they're on Atari, I'm sorry, I just said Atari, Mike, whether they're on the Xbox or the Switch, I think they all play FIFA.
Yeah, that's kind of the cool thing about the Switch is it seems to be like the hardware isn't quite up to the specs of the new Xbox or the new PlayStation. But they still came out with FIFA for it. Now, they didn't come out with like Madden or some of the other big sports franchises. And I get it. You know, it's more work to design for limited hardware. But I was thrilled when FIFA came out on the Switch, because that's really the one sports game that I like to play on there anyways. I guess I really don't consider Mario Tennis like a sports simulation game.
Well, so I was playing pretty regular on the Switch, especially the Zelda game. And then just about the time that they came out with Super Mario Odyssey, I just started getting really busy. And, you know, we dealt with people moving and we had some vacations and some trips. And I have not, like, I have Super Mario Odyssey. I really haven't played it much. So I feel like I need to, like, make some time to go and play some of those games again.
You should bring Super Mario Odyssey on your sabbatical.
Yeah. I have Splatoon 2 as well. That's kind of a funny story. My nephew, who's, I think he's 8 or 9, he came over. And one of the things for me with the video games is we like to do them as a group. I think it's really fun, like when we have family over. I haven't said it yet, but we also have an Xbox. And that one dates back 2 or 3 years before we bought the Switch. And there's a game on Xbox that was the original Xbox game called Fusion Frenzy, which is just a dumb little game.
I remember that game.
Yes. So it's got like 60 mini games. Well, you can buy it still, even with the most current Xbox, they still sell it. It's like, you know, it's very cheap and it's a digital download. And we played it on the original Xbox and we keep playing it. And every time we have a group of people over, everyone wants to play Fusion Frenzy. So my nephew says, my wife is Filipino, so uncle in Tagalog is Tito. He's like, Tito, here's another really good game we could all play together. And I'm like, oh, what's that? And he says, it's Splatoon 2. And I'm like, oh, is that? And he says, and I said, well, is it, I don't really like to have like games on with a bunch of guns shooting people. You know, I mean, occasionally I'll do a shooter, but I just don't feel like that's a family friendly thing to do together, you know?
Right.
And he's like, oh, no, it's just paint. And we could all play together, Tito. I know you like it when we all play together. I'm like, okay. So I spent $50 on this game, Mike, right? It downloads. It's single player only. There's no multiplayer at all. You can't even have two people play at once. And I'm like, Oliver, this game doesn't play. He's like, oh, I thought it did. Well, is it okay if I play it anyway? I got punked.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, this will be great. It's a shooter, not shooter, that we can play as a family, you know, and no. But my 10-year-old really got into it. He really enjoyed it. He plays I guess you can play with other people online. It's just yes. Not the split screen.
Yeah, that's how they got me. So is your 10-year-old playing Fortnite?
He's starting to dabble in Fortnite, which yeah. I'm not entirely sure how I feel about that, but I don't know. Definitely not for me. Although it's, it doesn't look that bad. I can see why people like it. And I like the fact that you can access it even from like an iOS device. You can play. I think that's kind of cool. But I just really can't get into that game. I don't know why. Even as somebody who used to play like the military shooters, like the Call of Duty or whatever, I guess that one's just kind of like right in the middle where it's too ridiculous for me, but not ridiculous enough for something like Mario Tennis or Splatoon, where you're like obviously mode shifting and this is going to be a ridiculous game. I don't know. I just, not for me.
We had, I talked a minute ago how I didn't want to get shooters for family and what all, but you know, here's my deep secret. My kids, my daughter, who's now in college, and my other one is in high school, got obsessed with the original Call of Duty game and just one map. It's called Nuketown. It's a map on the original Call of Duty game.
I remember that one.
It's a small map. It's like two houses. It's really well lit. It's not dark and it's not scary because they're just like track homes, you know. And when they were little, they started playing this game with me, and I'm such a bad father that we'd play it together. And recently, my oldest figured out a way to download that as a legacy game on the Xbox 2, and we do that as well. We still, to this day, we still have like a Nuketown like tournament every once in a while, and it's fun, you know. And we all, and then you know, it used to be with the old days, like with the original Xbox, you would put long cable between them, and then you would have like a TV in one room and a TV in another room, and that was huge fun. But now you all are looking at the same screen, so you still have people like cheating, looking at each other's screens and things like that. But that's the one shooter game that we still play to this day.
Yeah, I remember playing. I think it was that one. Maybe it was a little bit earlier version, where we'd have the Xboxes in the dorm rooms, have the couches like back to back, so you have one team looking at one TV on one wall, one team looking at the other TV on the other wall.
Yeah, and you'd line up like a sniper shot, and you'd pull the trigger, and in the other room you'd hear somebody go, "Man," you know.
Yep, exactly.
Except they weren't saying "man," they might have been saying something else.
Right, right. I'm curious, in addition to like the video games, do you guys get into board games at all?
Yeah, I had a little bit of a renaissance with board games. And this is largely thanks to Jason Snell, who was publishing for a while some of his favorite board games, because I didn't realize there was this huge market of third-party board games. You know, when I grew up, yeah. It was like Monopoly and Sorry. Like, you get a Monopoly board out, and I just run for the hills. I hate that game so much. Yeah, I hate everything about it. I hate that you're trying to bankrupt your family members. I hate that it takes forever to play it. I just don't like Monopoly. But then Jason turned me on to games like King of Tokyo and some of the other, like, they have collaboration type games that we play together. And there are some real fun board games out there now.
Yeah, I have the same, although probably not quite as strong, reaction to Monopoly. Never really was a fan. Yeah. There's a guy at the co-working space where I have my office who has literally three floor-to-ceiling, it must be like 6-foot cabinets full of board games. He's got hundreds of board games. So he's introduced me to quite a few. And I've also just been introduced to quite a few running into people. One of the things that we do actually when I go down to Austin every once in a while is we'll go to a board game bar. There's one called Vigilante where they have tables set up for you to play board games. You walk in and you can order food and then it's free, or you can just rent a table for however long. And they've got, you know, the library shelves, and you just pick whatever game you want to play. And you've got every person at the table, they got the little pull-out drawers. You can put all your little meeple characters in this drawer, your cards, you know, in the different slots. And it's really fun. One of the things that we play a lot of is Carcassonne. Are you familiar with Carcassonne?
Yes, yes. I love that game.
Yeah, it's so fun. And the iOS version is surprisingly good. I think it's a very authentic representation, which cannot be said about all iOS games that are based off of board games. But that one is really well done. And play that one all the time. Do you use any of the expansions for Carcassonne, or do you just play
I think we have one expansion. I know there's more, but we just have the one.
Yeah, there's something like 20 different expansions. It's pretty ridiculous. There's three in particular that I really like to play with. So there is the Traders and Builders, which allows you to have the builders. So when you place something on a city and you've got a builder there, you get an extra turn. And then you've got I believe the pigs for the field, so they're worth an extra point. Inns and Cathedrals is another one. The cathedrals are kind of crazy because if you place a cathedral in a city, if you complete the city, you get double the points. If you don't complete it, you get 0 points. So it's kind of all or nothing. But the most fun one by far is Princess and the Dragon, which allows you to remove meeples. The dragon literally is a creature that you take turns moving. Yeah, and it eats the meeples. So you might be sharing a city, and the dragon comes, and all of a sudden your meeple's gone, and the other person gets the city. So it can be a significant game changer, although you really have to... That one's better to be played in person, I've found. If you play that one online, you might have some hurt feelings with people, depending on, you know, how seriously you take it. Some of the people I play with are pretty cutthroat.
I think I'm going to order that expansion, because we haven't played that game for years now. I think we need to get back into that. That sounds like just the hook we need.
It's so good. And if you ever want to play on iOS... Let me know.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I should do that. I'll play you on iOS, Mike. Let's do that. Another board game that I got, I think this is another one recommended by Jason, was Forbidden Desert, which is a collaborative board game where the goal is to work together. You know, the whole team has to succeed together, or you either all win or you all fail together. And I'd never seen a game like that before I got Forbidden Desert, and that's kind of fun.
I've never played Forbidden Desert, but I've really gotten into Pandemic, which is another collaborative game where you're working together as members of the CDC, so the Center for Disease Control, and you're trying to save the world, essentially. And every game you play is a little bit different because the initial setup is kind of random, and then everybody's got a specific role, so they've got different abilities, and you really do have to work together to use everybody's abilities in order to save the world. It's a pretty difficult game. Most of the time you lose. Is that the same way with Forbidden Island?
Forbidden Desert. Now
Forbidden Desert, sorry.
It's about half and half. We usually win, and we don't play it on the hardest rules. You know, often we've got smaller kids joining our team, so we got to keep it simple enough for them.
Another one that I really enjoy playing with my kids, and really it's a game that anybody can get into, but it's pretty approachable and it's a lot of fun, is Castles of Mad King Ludwig. Are you familiar with this one?
No.
This one's pretty crazy. So the basic idea here is that you've all got your own castle that you are building, and every game is different because there's different criteria that's going to get you different bonus points. The rooms are worth different points, and then there's different types of rooms. So you want to keep your activity rooms away from your food rooms, for example. You'll lose points if you put those next to each other a lot of times. But what makes it interesting is that you're all bidding on the same room tiles. So there's six, essentially, room tiles that are available to be bought at any point. And each person takes a turn, and they pay their money to the master builder to buy the rooms. So the master builder sets the prices, and then at the end of everybody taking a turn, the master builder shifts one person to the right. So you refill more rooms, and the next person prices the rooms. And so everybody's got like the public facing bonus cards where, you know, like for example, maybe there's outdoor rooms are at the end of the game, the person with the most outdoor rooms is going to get 8 bonus points or something. But you've also got your own private bonus cards, so you don't know some of the things that people are doing. And you may realize, you know, as I'm playing with you, that you've built 4 blue rooms. And so you probably have a bonus card in the next blue room. You know, I'm going to set that at a real, real high price because I'm going to get you to pay me a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty simple. I mean, basically you just line up the entrances to the rooms next to each other, and, it's a lot of fun, and it's easy to play with, it's not a very complex game, so it's easier to grasp. It does take a bit to get through a whole game, though.
I have this isn't a game I own, but I bought it for a friend recently because my kids are a little older. They're not as interested in this stuff now, but I read about this game called Rory's Story Cubes. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not.
Yeah, R-O-R-Y-S. And I wish this game existed when my kids were little or I'd known about it. I don't know how long it's been around. But basically, it's a box of dice. And each dice has a different image on it. And then you throw 3 dice. And then you say you started off in a far, far away land or a long time ago. And you just tell a story based on the dice. And it's a great game to play. In fact, you should check this out for your kids, Mike. It may be fun.
Yeah, that does sound pretty cool. I definitely like that, the critical thinking type games, you know, where you have to think on your feet. That's what make, you know, back in the day, something like Gestures so fun, or Scattergories, I think, was another one. There's one for iOS that we play all the time. I'm blanking on it now. It's a big party game where you make up definitions for words. I know you've mentioned it in a Mac Power Users before too. Fibbage.
Yeah.
I love those types of games, and they can be pretty ridiculous. Is that the kind of the idea of a, or the, kind of what happens with Rory's Stories too?
Yeah. Well, but you play with little kids, so Fibbage can go a whole different direction.
That's true.
I'll tell you, did you ever play D&D?
I did not. Nope.
Yeah. See, I think that's a thing for old guys like me, but I grew up and my friends and I did play D&D. If you ever watched the movie E.T., that was, you know, except for the E.T. part, the beginning of E.T. was a lot of my childhood. You know, on Friday night, we'd get a pizza and play. Somebody would be the dungeon master, and we'd run a dungeon.
Nice.
But that was a long time ago, and something like 40 years ago now. And but for years now, I've just had this itch to do it again, you know, to play some D&D. And to the extent that I've even looked at some of the, you know, online boards for local, you know, tabletop games in my area. You know, I haven't really seen any groups that look really that I'd really want to join. And I also, in the back of my mind, think, you know, how much time do I have for something like that? And my friend Adam Christensen, who does the MacCast podcast, one of the oldest Mac podcasts out there, was telling me that there's some group now that's organizing D&D clubs over the internet, where they have, like, they meet for a couple hours every 2 weeks, and somebody who's really good at being DM runs the DM. I'm guessing that you probably do some FaceTime stuff, and they have software that manages, like, displays the map for you and rolls the dice for you. And I'm super curious about that.
Interesting. Yeah. If you check that out, let me know what that looks like. I think that's an interesting idea. I think that there's a lot of ways you could implement technology into that would be still true to the original form. Again, I never really got into it, but I kind of understand the concept behind it.
Occasionally over the years, one of my daughters would say, oh, this friend or that friend is interested in playing D&D. And I'm like, oh, maybe we should start it. And every time they just look at me in horror, like, oh no, Dad, you are not playing any games with my friends.
Nice. Another one that's a lot of fun to play with a bunch of people is Exploding Kittens. Have you played this?
Yeah, we have that one. I backed that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too. It's a lot of fun. And what's great about this game is that there's literally nothing to learn. When I teach it to people, I tell them the goal of the game is to not explode. And then just read the cards. They'll tell you what to do.
Yeah. In fact, at MacStock this year, there was a Exploding Kittens game going on at one of the nights, the game night.
Oh, man, I missed that one.
We got off the subject of electric games or video games, but do you ever play, like, real-time strategy games?
I used to back in the day. I think it was Command & Conquer was the big thing. I prefer the turn-based strategy games. So like Civilization is one of the games that I've always enjoyed. I really like the fact that they've got 6 now for the iPad and it's the full version. But I've always been partial to the turn-based strategy games as opposed to the real-time ones.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant, actually. I was thinking of Civilization when I asked the question, but okay. I love Civilization. The problem with it is I'm always afraid to start one because it does, like, it is hard for me to put that down. Whatever those happy chemicals you are from hitting the next turn, I get big doses of them.
Yep, just one more turn.
Yeah, I know. How about some of the computer-based, like online, massively multiplayer games? Have you ever done any of that stuff?
I've never gotten into those. The closest thing, and it's really not a massively multiplayer online game, was I was big into the Elder Scrolls. So it wasn't an RPG, a role-playing game, but for a long time, they resisted the whole MMORPG. And I think it was Oblivion that they came out with. Everybody thought it was going to be an online version. And it was a single player version that you could play on your Xbox 360, I think. And I loved that game. I played it so much. I probably put like 200 hours into that game.
Yeah, those open world games. Yeah.
Yep. But the online version of it, which they have now, just, I don't know, it doesn't really appeal to me. But I never really got into like World of Warcraft or anything like that either.
See, I think that's another one that I have to resist. Like the, I'm almost certain I've told this story on some podcast, but you know, sorry if you're hearing this for the second time. But for a while, Sony had a MMORPG on Star Wars, so you know that's of course my soft spot. You know, Star Wars, and the idea of being able to live in Star Wars to me is just the greatest thing. And like if they ever came out with real virtual reality where I could be Obi-Wan just walking around with my lightsaber, honestly, that would be the end of the free agents and the Max Berkey empire. They'd be like, whatever happened to that guy? But so this was like that, but it was an avatar on a computer screen. But you know, these games have their own economies and their own crafting system. They're very complex. And like, so I needed money if I wanted to get my training to be a proper Jedi. And so I started being a miner, or like you'd build a scanner and then you'd go out and on Naboo and find some blank area and you'd scan for minerals and then you'd put mines up and collect them and then you could sell them in the marketplace. You know, it was just like a whole economy. And so I was playing the game for 2 or 3 months and building up my empire. And then one day I was driving home from work, and this is when my kids were young. I'm thinking, boy, I got to get home. I think the mineral shifted today. I got to move my mines, you know? And then I heard, it's like, you know how you have one of those like moments, self-aware moments where you like step out and I'm like, wait, did I just say that? You know?
Yeah. Listen to yourself sort of thing.
And I'm like, oh, I got to get home so I can cancel my Star Wars account. And literally I went home and I canceled it that day. And I think I dodged a major bullet.
Yeah. That's one of the things that's always kept me from those types of games is I've known people who have been really into them. I've known people who have made a living on mining things for other people. And I realized very early on that I was never going to take it that seriously. So I was basically always going to be bad at it.
Yeah.
And I just decided, you know, I'm just not even going to start.
Well, I'll tell you, the biggest game I'm looking forward to is possibly getting back into D&D if this whole electronic thing works out. Are there any games you're looking forward to?
I'm not sure. The Switch was kind of a surprise. I'm sure that there's something that will come out for the Switch that'll catch my attention. I know Mario Party is going to be coming out. You talked about Fusion Frenzy earlier and how you can just like sit down with a bunch of people who never play video games and you've got all these mini games. Mario Party is along the same lines, except it's Mario branded. And I think a lot of the Mario Party games have like between 60 and 100 of those different mini games.
Yeah.
And so I think that one would be really fun. My kids are really interested in the Super Smash Brothers that's coming out. I never really got into it, but I don't know. That one is kind of appealing. I could see myself getting into that one. But I don't go actively seeking this stuff a lot of times. I just end up finding something that I really enjoy, like Zelda Breath of the Wild. So nothing on my radar at the moment.
Well, it's kind of nice now that Mike and Tiff have that podcast. You can just listen to them and they'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. I will also mention that they covered Firewatch in that podcast also. And that is another game that I got into. I've played through Firewatch probably 5 different times. It's so good. The visuals are great. It's made by the Campo Santo guys, so I think it was like the Panic people originally. And so I bought it originally to support them, but really just got enthralled with the story. And it's really fun. It's pretty short. I like the fact actually that you can go through it pretty quickly. It's very different. Have you played it?
No. Everybody has told me I have to, and I just haven't got around to it yet.
Okay. Yeah, definitely give it a shot. And I think you can even buy it now off of the Mac App Store. But you play a character who is in a Firewatch tower in the middle of this desert, and the only interaction that you have with people basically is through one person through a two-way radio. You never actually meet them. And it takes place, I think, in like the Wyoming wilderness. And so all of the landscapes are really beautifully done. It's a really gorgeous game, but it's really different because it's a first person, like you walk around and do things sort of a game, but you're in the middle of nowhere by yourself. And it sounds kind of weird when you explain it, but once you start playing it, you just get enthralled with the space itself, and you just get sucked into the world because it's so well done.
There's a couple that reminds me. There's a couple games on iOS that I really like, and the interesting for iOS is I like games that don't necessarily are super engaging, but just are fun to pick up and deal with. And I didn't think about it. I have to open my iPad here to see. One of them is the sequel to Alto's Adventure. What was Alto's Odyssey?
Yep,
I am just crazy good at Alto's Odyssey. I played that a lot. And it's just a snowboarding game, but it's in the sand. And all you do is you tap the screen to jump. And then, there's some other nuances, but that's basically it. And you can pick it up and play it anytime you want. And I love it that there's just no stress to it. A lot of those endless runner games, you always are stressed. Like, he's going to run off the end of a building or something. If Alto crashes, that's okay. You just start again. That's it.
Yep, that definitely is a great game. I've not gotten all the way through Alto's Odyssey. I did play all the way through Alto's Adventure, and that was a lot of fun.
Another one in that same vein is Monument Valley. There's two versions of that, one and two. And it's the same thing. It's just puzzles. You just figure out a puzzle, then you move on.
Yeah, that's definitely a great game. I've gotten into recently a game called Holdown. Are you familiar with this one?
No.
I saw John Voorhees write about it over at Mac Stories. Basically, every time he writes about a game that he's addicted to, it costs me some money. So that one was the one that he brought up. And it's kind of a weird premise. It's kind of like a breakout type game, except you're shooting the balls from the top of the screen, and each brick has a number on it. And you got to hit it that many times before it disappears. And so you've got so many balls that you fire at once. They bounce around, ping pong, whatever, and then they disappear. So you don't have like a paddle that you're trying to block them back with. You literally just aim where you want to shoot them, and then they bounce around, and then everything moves up one level, so you're closer to crashing, and then you got to send another wave of balls in. And
what's it called?
It's called Holdown, and it's kind of hard to describe, but it is insanely fun. It's a different take on like the breakout type games, and there's a couple different like worlds that you're trying to get all the way through to like the core, is kind of the idea there. And so some of them are pretty simple. Some of them you really gotta build up like the number of maximum balls that you can shoot at once. So there's a little gauge that as you get further and further down fills up. And then when it gets all the way full, you get another ball to shoot, and it can go all the way up to like 99, I think. And for some of the harder levels, like you've got to have significant number of those, so it's difficult enough to keep you interested. And then the last level of it is this this world, quote unquote, it's called Black Hole, that literally has no bottom to it, so you cannot beat the game. And I find myself still going back to it and just seeing how far I can get before I crash.
I'm just looking through my iOS games. There's one called Flower where you play as the wind. Again, this is just the exact opposite of a shooting game. You press the screen to change the direction of the wind, and you spread the seeds and the flowers grow. I know that sounds weird, but it's fun.
A lot of these iOS games, they sound weird when you describe them, but they're just little time wasters, a few minutes here or there that they end up being a lot of fun. Threes is one that I play all the time, even still. Never really seem to do very well in that game, but there's always the belief that I can do well. So it's kind of deceptively difficult.
I have often bought, a game that's more complex for the iPad, you know, like a turn-based strategy game of some sort or another, or I bought a pirate simulator and, you know, these games that are more involved. And I always buy them with the best of intentions, and I rarely play them longer than a half hour. I just have to stop buying those kinds of games on the iPad.
Yep, yep, totally. Pocket Run Pool is another one that I've gotten into lately, which, again, is crazy difficult, but I was able to get actually a perfect score on it, which I think is 800 points, maybe. Have you played Pocket Run Pool at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
I like bridge building games on iOS. That's another one. I've got a couple, like Poly Bridge, and then there's also a Portal-based bridge game where you have to build a bridge. But the thing about those games is they always get like super crazy. You know, the designs get wilder and wilder the further you get in the game, and where I just want to focus on making an actual bridge, you know?
Yep.
I just want to make the perfect bridge. I don't care about, you know, having things blow up and stuff. I just want to make a bridge.
One game that I'm disappointed has not been updated in quite a while because I really, really got into it was Hoplite. I think I actually heard about this from you back in the day.
Yeah, that's ringing a bell. What is that game?
It's got a picture of like a Spartan helmet on the top.
Oh, yes. I played so much of that game.
Yeah, it's so good, but it hasn't been updated in a long time. There's another really good game that hasn't been updated in a long time called Stagehand. So if you're familiar with like those endless runners where your character just kind of keeps moving, it's that approach. But this one, you actually manipulate the world. And so your guy is always running. You want to make sure that they're always not crashing into something and getting stuck because the world is going to keep going to the left of the screen. And basically you lose when your character gets squished against the side of the screen because the world's going to keep moving, but sometimes your character can't. And so you're constantly like flicking this thing up and this thing down, trying to make like a flat place for them to run. And it's difficult. but again, that one hasn't been updated in quite a while.
All right. My last one, since we're on iOS, one of the original games I played on iOS and I still play all the time. I think this is the game I've logged the most rounds in of any game, is called Strategery.
Yes, I still have it.
It's just like a simple version of Risk. And if I open that game, there's no way I'm not going to finish a round. It's just too addictive for me. And they haven't updated it for the iPhone 10. I doubt they ever will, but it still works. And I haven't even looked in the store. Maybe it got washed out by Apple, you know, when they did one of those app store washes out. But just a great little game.
Totally agree. I love that game. I downloaded in the early days of the app store just about every version of Risk that you could find, and enjoyed Strategery above everyone that I've ever tried.
Well, Mike, sounds like we don't really get any work done.
Nope, we take strategic breaks.
There you go. Well, thank you everyone for supporting the show and all of Relay FM. We really appreciate it. I know it's just really fun for us once a year to do something off script, you know, but we really do appreciate your support. Both Mike and I help support our families with this work, and your contributions and subscriptions are very much appreciated.
Thanks to everybody who is a Relay FM member, and everybody really who listens to the show, but specifically to you who are listening to this right now, for supporting us monetarily. Really appreciate the support. It allows us to keep making stuff like this, and hope that you're benefiting a lot from Free Agents, the effort that we put into it, and even hearing some of the other stories from other people on their free agent journeys.